I want to think a little bit about Saul's armor bearer. Because when Saul is critically injured, and it's clear that he's going to die, and he's on death's door, this is in the final battle, Saul says to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But the armor-bearer would not. 1 Samuel 31:4 says, "Because he was respectful." Respectful of what? Well, it seems to me that he had been deeply influenced, therefore, by David's example of not killing Saul when he could have done. Well, why did David not kill Saul when he could have done? He said, "It is not for us to stretch out our hand upon the Lord's anointed." He had a great respect for Saul because he was the Lord's anointed. And David's example had clearly influenced Saul's armor-bearer. And when you come to 2 Corinthians, we're told that it is God who has anointed us. We are in Christ, and Christ means the anointed one. So we are all, in that sense, the anointed of God. And as I say, Paul says, we have been anointed. What that means then is that there should be a huge and deep culture of respect towards anyone who is in Christ. Don't refer to those in Christ as that fella, that bloke, him, you know, in a disrespectful way. Let us have respect towards all those who are in Christ. And that has huge implications, because once church politics get going, people end up being treated not as persons, but just as objects, as people who have this statement of faith or don't have that statement of faith or whatever. And people become depersonalized and are treated certainly not with respect. The whole idea of disfellowshipping somebody, let alone block disfellowshipping a whole area or group of churches or whatever, is absolutely lacking in this basic sensitivity to who people are because they are in Christ. Now, we should also likewise be aware that even if we are not treated by others as we should be, we are seen by God as his anointed ones. We have a purpose. You were anointed not just to be a king, but because you had a specific mission to do. We have a specific mission. We are in Christ, and his mission is huge, and it's multifaceted. It's split up between all of us who are in him. And so you can also reflect a bit further that you might have thought that Saul's armor-bearer was the last person who would have been influenced by David. Saul's personal bodyguard would have been his most loyal right-hand man. But whoever this person was, they had been influenced by David. And so you see the great truth that we have more influence upon other people than we might imagine. You may think that you're a stockbroker, and, or maybe you are a stockbroker, but you may feel that in your situation, you can have really no influence on hard-headed business-type people. But, you know, your influence is more powerful than you think. You may be an illiterate woman in a male-dominated society, and you can't really attend church, hardly at all. You have very little influence, so it seems you are a nobody locked away, tied up with childcare and so forth. No, you have more influence and meaning than you imagine. And likewise, it was with David sparing Saul's life that he had more influence than he imagined, even upon Saul's right-hand person, the one he trusted to be his personal bodyguard. And again, you see how people who may be in places that you might think are impassable actually are not inaccessible to the gospel. There may be people who are stuck in situations And maybe they should leave them, but they don't have quite the courage to, just like you and I don't have the courage to do all that we should. And yet within those situations, they may actually believe as we do. I've known two Catholic priests who were exposed very deeply to what we teach. And I knew a Russian, I know a Russian Orthodox priest who likewise read all my stuff, Bible basics, so on and so forth, quietly baptized himself by immersion. But he's stuck in a situation for various reasons, and he's going through an act that he doesn't believe. You may say, oh no, you should come out openly for your faith. And I would agree, yes, we should. But I don't always, as I should in my little life, and I guess you don't either, and neither does he. We are all stuck in imperfection, and yet that doesn't mean that you don't believe in your heart. And so I think it may have been with Saul's armor bearer. He may have actually been on David's side or deeply touched by how David had not killed Saul. Perhaps he was there camped out with Saul on the two occasions when David came near. And afterwards, when David had come and stolen whatever, Saul's jug or had cut off a bit from Saul's garment afterwards, you can imagine Saul would have said to his armor bearer, and where were you, mate? Oh, yeah, well, I was sleeping. Deep sleep from the Lord came upon me, or whatever. But all the same, it would have been, well, where were you? So this guy would have been influenced by David, even though he was in the camp of Saul very strongly. So don't give up hope at the extent of possible influence. And don't think that unless people join your particular denomination and come out guns blazing on your side publicly, that they're not actually with the Lord. There are all sorts of people who are stuck in funny situations, and in fact we all are, to some degree, and yet within the matrix, as it were, of the situation that they're stuck in, they may still believe, and if it's God who will finally judge. And one of the joys of the kingdom is that we shall all be united with such folks.